Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, the one who was pierced, pressed, and persecuted for the sake of the Christian church. Good morning to everyone. Good morning. I feel good this morning. How about you? Amen. I think that workout is finally working for those of you who are here. I'm getting it together. I missed 3 days this week, but I'm still getting it together. This morning, I want to share with you a card and a little gift here. One of you wrote me a card. Well, let me bring both out. And it says, David, one word about your sermon this past Sunday, dot, dot, dot. Right? It doesn't say who gave me the card. And this is the one word about the sermon last Sunday. It says, amen. I thought that that was cute, so I'm going to just prop this up here this morning. Just in case I don't get it, I'm just joking with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But whoever sent me this neat gift, thank you so much for it. I am going to wear it with pride on my office desk. But this morning we have a very brief and interesting word for you according to the Gospel of John. As you all know, we pretty much have read through the book of John and we're entering the book of Acts. That's the new book that we're in. And I'm interested in the book of Acts for several reasons. Number one, it is the birthing of the Christian church that we experience next Sunday is going to be the day of Pentecost. In addition to Mother's Day, we haven't forgotten. It's Mother's Day next Sunday. And it's interesting that those two fall on the same Sunday. And if you think about it, Mother's Day, mothers, the motherly presence of the Holy Spirit is giving birth to the Christian church. You'll catch it later. Anyway, my point is it's going to be an amazing Sunday on Pentecost Sunday. But this Sunday, we're going to direct our attention now to the gospel according to John. At this time, can we all bow our heads for a brief moment of prayer? Spirit of the living God, we invite your presence to fall upon us in a special way. Lord, we pray for a shift in the atmosphere. We pray for your anointing. You be present in a special way, O Lord, and you preach this morning. You teach. You give us leadership and guidance as you always do. Bless this word, O God, that it will go forth with power and conviction, leading the lost to Jesus Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, thy rock and thy radical redeemer. Amen. Amen. In the gospel according to John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, Jesus is having a very divine dialogue with his disciples. And he has just disclosed to them, can we bring that scripture up? John 16, verses 7 and 8. He discloses to them some sad news. And I want to read it for you now. It says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Thank you so much. And that's the sad news for them, because Jesus has just disclosed to his disciples that, hey, listen, fellas, I have to depart. If I don't depart, the Holy Spirit, known as the Comforter, will not arrive. If I don't leave, he won't come. So Jesus, in essence, is saying, hey, you know what, fellas, I have to say farewell to you all now so the Holy Spirit can come on the scene and say hello to you. Does that make sense? In other words, farewells are necessary for us to experience brand new and fresh hellos. Anybody this morning need a fresh hello from the Holy Spirit? Did you get that? Let me point to the bag. Amen. Farewells are necessary. They precede and precipitate fresh hellos. I was speaking to a colleague who is an empty nester now. He's much older than I am. He has a daughter in college and a son soon to graduate from high school with honors. And it's a bittersweet experience for him because he has to say farewell to his son. And his son has to say hello to new classes and new relationships and new friends and a new college experience. He said jokingly that I'm also looking forward to saying hello to some vacation time without him. Bittersweet experience. But anyway, some farewells are necessary in order for us to experience hellos. And that's what we see going on in this passage. Jesus has to depart so the Holy Spirit can arrive. And this morning I want to preach briefly from the topic, the text, if you will, with a thought. Holy Spirit, our spiritual GPS. Holy Spirit, our spiritual GPS. In the text, John verses 7 and 8, It says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. Now, the word counselor is really a spinoff word from the Greek word paraclete. Can you bring that one up? Paraclete. And paraclete is the Greek word for counselor and advocate. It means, it's passive in form and etymologically signifies called to one side. In general, the word signifies a legal advocate or counsel for defense, an intercessor, and a helper. Now, just imagine, if you will, a courtroom case, okay? And we are guilty as charged. For Romans 3 and 23 says, for we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's one thing we all have in common is sin. Amen. It's embedded in all of our DNA. Amen, church. Am I alone this morning? Yeah, so the Holy Spirit is one who comes along the side of us, we who are guilty of sin, and he argues on behalf of us. He testifies on behalf of us. He argues for our good, the Holy Spirit. So he's not only a comforter and a defender, but he's also a friend. It was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had the privilege of doing the children's lesson, and I brought up front in the 11 o'clock service a huge map, and I also had a Bible. And I had the children point out the map in the Bible, and the connection was the Bible is a map getting us back to God. It teaches us of the love of God and the grace of God, the personality of Jesus Christ, the commandments. And so the scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit is the same. The Holy Spirit is God's GPS system for the church. By the way, the premise of this message is that God is always present with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. God is always present through the Holy Spirit. Matters not where you are. You can be in Hawaii. You can be in Mexico. Matters not where you are, physically or spiritually. God is always present with us through the Holy Spirit. Now, in John 16, 12, and 14, it gives us a longer description regarding the Holy Spirit's role. He says to them, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Amen. Thank you so much. So the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. He's one who guides us into all truth. He does not speak on his own initiative, and he speaks only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit is God's GPS system in this. We all know what a navigation system is, don't we? Amen, church, for the most of us. For those of us who don't, I brought a quick definition of the GPS system. A GPS system is a satellite-based navigation system made up of a network of 24 satellites placed into orbit by the U.S. Department of Defense. GPS satellites circle the Earth twice a day in a very precise orbit and transmit, catch this, signal information to Earth. GPS receivers take this information and use triangulation to calculate the user's exact location. That means a GPS receiver must be locked onto the signal of at least 3 satellites to calculate a 2D position and track movement. I don't want to get too technical with the terms, but I want to describe this in terms of the Holy Spirit, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit create a triangle, and the Holy Spirit is orbiting around the entire world, and he has a transmitter that feeds the church information regarding the will and the way of God. Let me say it this way because y'all not getting it. Amen. Let me say it this way. I went to Houston maybe 4 years ago and I was with 4 other pastors. And we went to a conference. And during the lunch break, we all decided we would go to Papado's Seafood Restaurant. Any Papado fans in the house? Ah, good eating. If you're ever in Houston or Atlanta, please go by Papado's. You won't be sorry. Anyway, we get in the rental car and we don't know where we are. We don't know where we're going. So he says, you know, let's call ahead to the restaurant and get their address. We called ahead and he punched the address into the computer, this navigation system. And the navigation system gave us voice activated directions. 1 mile north, turn left here, turn right here, turn left here. It gave us specific directions to our destination. And see, that's the good news about the Holy Spirit. It does not speak on its own initiative. It speaks only according to the knowledge and word of God. And it brings back to our remembrance everything that Christ has spoken. In just a few minutes, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And the Holy Spirit has reminded the church, do this as often as you do it in what? Remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He brings everything to our remembrance. He only repeats what he hears. And so today's message, Holy Spirit, our spiritual GPS, the Holy Spirit is guiding the church. It's giving us leadership and direction. The good news about the Holy Spirit is this. He not only knows our location presently, he also knows our final destination. That's good news, isn't it? And he gives us revelation and information along the way so that we are not misguided. Now, you would think at this point that that was all to it, that the disciples were impressed upon Christ, say, listen, I need you to understand that I have to depart so the Holy Spirit can arrive. And you would think that that was it, that they were just beneficiaries and recipients of the Holy Spirit. But Christ would give us some more good news regarding what we're to do with the Holy Spirit. Turn now to the Gospel according to John chapter 17, if you can bring that one up. Chapter 17, listen carefully to the word of God now, because we have something to do in response to this. He says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Catch this. My prayer is not for them alone. Jesus is praying for someone else. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying the Father and the Son share a special union, and we have been incorporated into their union as a third party. And Jesus says, everyone who believes the message that the church spreads in the world, the Father and the Son will also receive them into this union. So now it becomes communion. Did you catch that? The Father and the Son, they share a special relationship, a special union, and we represent a third party. Christ says, everyone who we share the message of hope with, we will receive them into our union. And we'll together be communion. We'll be a community. Does that make sense to you? And so that means that we have work to do. Means that we have a story to share. Means that we have a testimony to share with the world so that they can be incorporated and received into this special union between the Father and the Son. That's good news, church. Let me say it this way. You remember maybe a month ago, Dan had the motorcycle up here, and he had a tricycle, and he had bicycles, and he showed you what if God can trust you with the small, he can trust you with the big. Well, God has entrusted us with the labor of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so everyone we share this news and this information with, they become received. Guess what? They become plugged in into this GPS system. Did you catch that? Because there are a lot of lost people in the world. Who's ever been lost in here this morning? Have you ever been lost? How did you feel when you were lost? Were you afraid? Did it feel good? Was it lonely when you were lost? So just imagine, we live around a world, many people are lost. They don't know the love of God. They don't know the forgiveness of Christ. They don't know the benefits that come through Jesus Christ. And so it's the responsibility of the church to introduce them to Christ. And God says to us in Scripture today, as you introduce them to me and they receive and believe in me, I'll include them. I'll include them in my relationship. I'll include them. They'll have access to my GPS system also. Back to that story I told you in Houston. Not only did we get to where we were going safely, this Holy Spirit gave us pointers all along the way. All along the way. My challenge today is that you begin to open your spiritual ears up. Open your heart up more for the activity of the Holy Spirit in your lives. So often we ignore the Holy Spirit. Am I guilty? Alone? So many times we ignore the Holy Spirit. We become so busy and we become so mind-driven and driven in the sense that we ignore His directions. Don't do that. Don't hinder, don't suppress the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is working for our good. Let me take you now to Romans chapter 8 as I hasten to a close. Romans chapter 8, listen carefully to the Word of God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, regarding the Holy Spirit. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us, helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know that what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's interceding for the church. He's interceding for your lives. That means He's going on behalf of you. He's coming alongside of you and says, hey, do it this way. Make a right turn here. Slow down there. Pay attention here. Make sure you do it this way. He's given you leadership and direction according to the will of God. And that's why it's good that He's not speaking on His own. He's speaking from the heart of God. He's sharing the information. He's transmitting the same information that God has to the church. And that's why today's message is Holy Spirit, our spiritual GPS. Once again, in closing, the premise of today's chat is this. God is always present with us through the Holy Spirit. You may be lost right now, but guess what? You have an advantage because you have access to God's GPS system. A roadmap back to the path of righteousness. A roadmap back to the path that God has ordained for you. That's good news, church. Good news. Amen, church? Amen. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God.